Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I was supposed to have a show about medical tourism, and we'll get to that. I'm sure we'll have it at some point. But I wanted to, update what's going on with the supposed vote to reform Obamacare. I personally said today before the show started, I think this is actually a really good thing that it didn't pass, because now it actually opens the door for real change. I think everybody can say, well, at least those of us who think that the Affordable Care Act is going in the wrong direction, that we tried to do it the same way, you know, do the same model each time to reform it, and the model's broken. There doesn't make any sense to me that you would use the same playbook, use the same players, pay them more money and expect a different result. I mean, this is just, well, it's status quo, and has been my argument on and off, but more on, that the Republicans never wanted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act at all, that they were using it to get, you know, their people to give money to the party, people to vote for them. It was all a ploy in order to get back in power. And each side has been raising money off of this same dead horse for the past 8 years. You know, nibbling around the edges on the Democratic side is ridiculous because it's totally bankrupt and it's not working. And voting over and over and over again to repeal something and never getting it done, especially when you could have actually, the House has the power of the purse. They could have ages ago decided not to fund Obamacare. They could have not put forth legislation to give it the funds, to the air to breathe, so to speak. And they did it right along. It was the fake opposition of the Republicans that got us into this situation in the first place. You have the House. You had, you know, enough votes in opposition to the prior administration to put the brakes on this thing. If it never got funded, it never would have gotten off the ground. And it was so bad that the administration used money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And you should look this up, because it's pretty pretty shocking, actually, that they used money from the, instead of paying the dividends to the shareholders of Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac, they took that money and they used it to fund Obamacare. So they basically stiffed the people who were supposed to get their dividends. I'm not sure that's kosher, to put it mildly, but the fact that they would just take money from whatever source they could without telling anybody, in, I would say, and, you know, I don't know if it's illegal, unethical, I'm not sure which one you want to put, but it's not right, in order to prop up something that was never meant to succeed. I think everybody at this point can pretty much figure out that the Affordable Care Act is built on a house of cards, and it was designed to create chaos, which we've discussed at length for, I don't even know how long, for years, about how this thing has been crafted. It's an HMO model, capitation model, where there are gatekeepers throughout the system, especially the government, who's designed to, take that money and then divvy it up. Yeah. To divvy it up on all, to everybody except the people who are supposed to have it, the doctor and the patient. And this has been an ongoing battle, struggle, whatever you want to put it. But the front of it has been to use the emotional blackmail of, if you want to change it, you're a bad person, you want somebody to die. And the system is broken. Why putting more money into it makes any kind of difference is beyond me. Let's take a small break, because I think the guest that I'm supposed to have on is actually on the line. So let's take a break now. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, I was giving an overview of what I believe is the problem with our healthcare system and the fact that there's nobody in Congress at this point, maybe one or two, who are interested in thinking outside the box and changing the game, because the game is not working. I think it's been well documented now that the cost of healthcare has not changed. It's gone up. Access has gone down. We are now the 11th. Number 11 in the developed countries in terms of our medical care. And that's unacceptable. And the Affordable Care Act has done nothing to change that. And right now, it's because the mandate is no longer in effect due to a presidential executive order. It's time for people to really realize that they can work outside of the system without being fined, without having to pay any kind of penalty. And today's show is about one avenue that you can explore to go outside of the box, and that's medical tourism. A lot of people talk about it, but they're not sure what it is. And today I wanted to have Mr. Shamari Scott, who's the marketing director of Health City Cayman Islands, to come on, because what they've been doing is changing the game for Canadians, for people in the U.S., for people throughout the Caribbean, who are in a position now to not only know what the cost is, but to actually get a higher level of care from doctors and a system that is built around patients, which is what everything should be about. So, Mr. Scott, I wanted to thank you for coming on. Sorry about the miscommunication, but it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
No problem whatsoever. And it's a pleasure to be here. My apologies for being a little bit late.
It's quite all right. It's all about the information. So if you can give our listeners, how did Health City come about and what's the mission?
Definitely. So to start the vision of Health City, quite simply, is to provide the highest quality of tertiary care at an affordable price in a patient-centered environment. We actually, I like to say that the birth of Health City is actually between two partners, one in India, which is called Narayana Health, and the other is a non-for-profit healthcare system in the U.S. that's called Ascension, that more or less gave birth to Health City right here, an hour away from the U.S., because we're just an hour away from Miami here in the Cayman Islands. The visionary of the project is actually Dr. Devi Shetty, who quite notably was Mother Teresa's physician for the last 5 years of her life. But it was really a partnership in that she was looking to get underprivileged kids to Dr. Shetty so that he and his hospitals could perform life-saving surgeries on these children that wouldn't be able to actually afford it in the families in any other way. So quite simply, at times, Dr. Shetty says, a solution that's not affordable is not a solution. So with his actual model, he has over 40 hospitals in India. There have been different articles written about him in the Wall Street Journal, for instance, that calls him the Henry Ford of heart surgery, just due to the lean management principles and processes that he's able to put in to get higher levels of volumes, but still not only give baseline in regards to high quality. When it's actually studied, the quality is as good, if not better, than many first-rate hospitals and hospital systems in the Western Hemisphere. So he was looking where he could actually bring this model of healthcare to increase access, both from a quality perspective, technology perspective, but as well, of course, from an affordability perspective. Understanding, you know, in the Caribbean that we have over 40 million people, and just depending, but it's over 31 countries. So just depending on country, you wouldn't necessarily have the higher level of specialists there to be able to give them access. So we're filling gaps in the Caribbean. Canada, for instance, and you mentioned that they have socialized medicine. So at times it may take 14 months or more to get something, for instance, such as a hip replacement. And of course, they can fly directly to Health City and get it done with a snap of your fingers within a week or 2 weeks. We can definitely go ahead and have that type of surgery. And then outside of that, what I'm sure would is what you are actually interested in, is that from a U.S. perspective, there seems to be a sweet spot in regards to self-insured companies that are a little bit more innovative, that they see, you know, medical expenses hitting their bottom line, and depending on where they are able to actually control the costs, and costs seem to be increasing, and they're taking us up on our solution that's actually given the highest quality at affordable prices. So I hope that was enough of as a basic overview, Dr. George.
That's a great overview. I actually wanted to drill down a little bit further into that. Are these U.S. Companies or facilities that use your services, are they private corporations? Are they contracting with you directly to take care of their patients? How do you find the patients from the U.S.? Where are they coming from, basically?
So there are probably about three different funnels that we're currently seeing. So one definitely would be private self-funded companies, mm-hmm. that are actually finding us directly. And then we've been in a lot of the places, whether it's conferences or through different contacts, reaching out, understanding companies that have a certain amount of lives and are actually looking for a solution with innovative decision makers and benefit managers and getting into their actual network that way, as well as their, I liken it to the travel agent, whereas back in the 80s, travel agents were king. However, travel agents haven't in totality gone away, but the travel agents that are left today are the ones that are really good. And even though some people might research online because they want the benefit of a great travel agent to, when something goes wrong, to be able to take care of them, they then call the travel agent to book it for them. It's the same thing when it comes to medical tourism facilitators. We like to call it destination healthcare, but for these purposes, we'll stick with medical tourism facilitators. That there were quite a few that would have been around 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, but those that were around from 10 years ago that survived to today actually figured out how to give value. And there are about three or four really good facilitators that already had self-funded companies that were using their arms in order to direct them to the best solution for medical care, whether, you know, it's hearts in the Cayman Islands or knees and hips and shoulders in the Cayman Islands or dentistry in another country. Mm-hmm. Those facilitators definitely help. So that's a second channel. And then the third channel is that we're also seeing, I think it's called Christian Sheer, but there are organizations, churches that have members that seem to have their own type of insurance mechanism that we're also seeing quite a few patients from that area. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth channel, just depending, after the advent of the ACA, there were less persons who seemed to be, not insured, but you know, would be able to afford to come to have a knee or hip at $15,000 US, all inclusive, all bundled. However, there every now and then we find somebody who either through the internet or from our PR finds Health City that for whatever reason they don't have insurance, but they have $15,000 US, all inclusive, to come to Health City, mm-hmm. Inclusive of flights and hotel stay, in order to get a knee or a hip or a shoulder replaced. So those are really the four areas that we've seen movement from the US.
Well, you know, I'm intrigued about Canada because one of the arguments here in the U.S. for people who are proponents of socialized medicine is they always look to the Canadian system as the gold standard, how awesome it is and how we should switch our system into that. But you're on the front line seeing the same Canadian patients who, if they really had an awesome system, would not need to come down to Health City. What's your take on the Canadian system?
Well, from everything that we've seen, the actual medical care itself in Canada is very good. They have very good physicians, very good clinics, some of the latest technology, from a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
However, I guess just because previously, and I like to say my other life, I was a civil servant working with the government, with one of our major departments being tourism. I can't understand the government budgeting process where, for different arms of the country, you have to put forth budgets, and depending on priorities, certain areas get less of the budget. And my understanding, not being from Canada, but from seeing it, is that at the end of the day, all emergent services, if you need it, regardless if you had a heart attack or the such, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the priority is placed from a budget perspective. However, in other areas that are deemed to be not emergent and from a priority standpoint, I guess a little bit less, the way the budgeting process works is that less Canadians who need a knee and hip or shoulder, depending on area, are able to get it as quickly as if it was a private type of setup, is my baseline understanding of what's happening in Canada. So those persons who, even though it's, more or less socialized medicine, so you're not paying out of pocket for it at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
If they want a knee or hip quicker than the 12 to 14 months, let's say small business owner, and I need to hang paintings at my art gallery and I need a shoulder replacement,
mm-hmm.
not being at work or only being 50% useful at work doesn't help my bottom line at the end of the day. So I can afford $15,000 to go get the shoulder done and be back in Adam within a month, and I wouldn't have to, drag that out over 14 months, is my understanding of why Health City is a solution in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
for Canadians.
So it's the elective side where if it's not emergent, they have to... If they have the means not to wait, they're not going to do it. I think in the United States, it's the cost that's prohibitive, and we can get it, but maybe you can tell me, because I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. What's your understanding of the cost in the U.S. for that same shoulder surgery versus what they're paying when they come to Health City? Because that $15,000 inclusive sounds amazing to me, because if you and I have been talking, in the U.S., just the hospital charge would be double that. So what's the savings when you compare apples to apples?
Definitely. And so I'll answer that question in two parts. The first part is just to mention that the pricing that we have, it's a fully bundled price for all of our medical services. So it includes the implant cost, anesthesia cost, physician surgical fees, all of the medicines, post-op physiotherapy up to 2 weeks, pre- and post-operative investigation, so your MRI, CT scan, x-rays, etc. Of course, there's consultations, all of the consumables and room and food charges when you're here within Health City as well. So whereas in other jurisdictions, you may never see the end of bills. It's bill after bill after bill after bill, and you're never sure exactly when it will stop. With us, you get one-line billing. So if it's a knee replacement, you'll see one line, $15,600, and that's it. You never get another bill from us. in regards to that procedure. So that's just to mention one of the ways that we're also able to reduce costs is that we have two people in our billing department, because we don't need to have 20 or 30 people to have coders in order to put in all the CPT codes and all the itemized bills and to fight back and forth with insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
People know what it is ahead of time. They know what it is when you're having surgery, and you know what it is after surgery, and it's the same thing. So that's one unique angle to Health City as well. But that being said, it just depends in regards to pricing by state or by hospital exactly what the pricing will be. But a knee replacement, from the information we're able to garner, will cost anywhere between $50,000 to $80,000 U.S. in the U.S. is our understanding, and our pricing is well under $20,000.
That's impressive. I mean, that's just the best kept secret in my opinion, because if you start to be able to understand true costs versus what we're paying in the States, there should be a huge question mark in someone's mind as to why it costs that much. And you just described exactly how it should work. You don't have a ton of administrators and this layer between you and the care that you deliver, because you're not worried about this third party coming in and basically ginning up the price, inserting themselves to make themselves seem important, but in actuality what they're doing is just raising the price. And the fact that you have to have a whole cadre of people to deal with that entity, it just wastes money, and the patient is on the hook for it. So two billers, that's amazing, versus hundreds of billers, I would think, in an average hospital. And a doctor's office may have two or three alone, an independent doctor, you know, a small business version of a doctor's office. They also have all this layer of stuff. So you don't have to have it, is what you're saying. Basically, if you deal with the patient, let them know what it is up front, and streamline, you don't have to be so expensive.
And that's part of the lean management model as well, is that you look at the different areas, and if it doesn't actually provide value to the patient, then you remove it, because at the end of the day, it's about quality of outcomes, and it's about actually delivering value to the patient that's sitting in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So Health City, actually, outside of course having a great price, we're Joint Commission International accredited. So JCO, which does the accreditation of the major hospitals in the United States, their international arm, which is Joint Commission International, we got that just 1 year after opening our doors here in the Cayman Islands. So we opened in April of 2014,
mm-hmm.
and just a little like a day or two after, a year after opening, we got our Joint Commission International accreditation. And for everything that we've done, we're seeing less than 1% infection rates, 0.1% incidence of bed sores, and the list goes on from a quality perspective. And one thing that we're proud of is, of course, our quality parameters. And I think it was John Goodman who actually wrote an article about Health City on Forbes, and he said, his words, not mine, he said, in the U.S., you know, at times we get paid for infections because the insurance company is going to pay for it. We get paid for complications because it's a longer stay, mm-hmm. and the insurance is going to pay for it. He said when he studied the model that of course, Narayana is bringing from India, you know, somebody arrives at your door because they don't really have the traditional insurance type of product there. If they have $10,000 or $15,000 for a procedure,
mm-hmm.
that's it. So you have to make sure that you're going above and beyond when it comes to your quality parameters to ensure that you minimize your infections, to ensure that you minimize your actual complications,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, the hospital will be on the hook for it. So that's another unique portion of why we think we are successful and why we're proud of what we're doing. And we have a quality report that comes out every quarter, and whomever requests it, we release it openly so mm-hmm. that persons can see what we've actually been doing in the hospital from a medical perspective.
Well, that's outstanding, because I do know that, you know, compared to what you just said, your infection rate, that, you know, what goes on in the United States is much, much higher than that. You want to get your patients out of our hospitals as fast as you can. And frankly, if you don't have to take them there in the first place, you kind of don't. And I think that's one of the reasons why people, especially ear, nose, and throat surgeons, are doing a lot more office-based procedures because of that. Because you can control a lot of things that you don't have to worry about this whole system, the hospital-based system, and all of their algorithms that you tend to jump through, but the end result is not better. The infection rate, the nosocomial, it's what they call nosocomial infection rate, is pretty high. And the fact that you, and I just want to ask this question before we go to break. If somebody does have an infection or some complication, is that covered in the flat fee? Or do, you know, if they have to come back for whatever reason, how does that work? I'm sure it doesn't happen often.
Yeah,
but
so if it's related to the primary surgery, it's mm-hmm. covered.
Okay.
If it's, you know, if somebody, God forbid, knock on wood, because it hasn't happened as yet, for whatever reason had a heart attack while we were doing a knee surgery, then that of course would be separate. Now, if it's self-pay, we would definitely work with the patient on that. But from an insurance perspective, they also, we have agreements that they understand, and once again, they understand exactly what it would be mm-hmm. for the different procedures that we have beforehand, and it isn't as if in an emergent case we increase the cost as well. So they already know you know, the price ahead of time, and we actually have a guarantee within 30 to 60 days from an orthopedic standpoint. If mm-hmm. there was any issue in regards to the actual procedure, that they would be able to come back and we would take care of it. But knock on wood, once again, we haven't had that issue thus far. And the great thing is that Dr. Alvin, who is our lead physician here from an orthopedic standpoint, he usually keeps the patient just a little bit longer on island, so anywhere from about 10 to 13 days to go through the physiotherapy to make sure that everything is okay before they get on a plane and leave. And we actually have a concierge team that works directly with physicians and patients and home physicians just to make sure that, and physiotherapists back in home country, just to make sure that the patient is going through the right regimen, is doing it as they should, mm-hmm. Because the physiotherapy afterwards, as Dr. Alwyn would say, is actually, in his opinion, more important than the actual surgery. He's like, I'm going to do a great job. However, if persons don't do great and keep to their physiotherapy, then that's when people have issues. So we make sure that we're following up and ensuring that the patient's going through the right regimen afterwards.
That's an excellent, excellent protocol. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think we're having a really enlightening and important conversation with Mr. Shamari Scott, who's the marketing director of Health City Cayman Islands. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that you have a completely different mindset in terms of your patient care than an average hospital, whether in the U.S., Canada, or wherever, where it's really about, you know, doing it right the first time and knowing that the better your system setup is to keep the patient healthy and have a successful outcome, the better it is for you as a hospital. It's not the opposite, where you get paid, as Mr. Goodman described, for things that go on. You don't want things to go on. Your value is lowering the bar, raising the bar, whatever you want to put it, so it doesn't happen. Now, does that also include airfare? I think I heard you mention that at the beginning of the show, but I just wanted to clarify.
Right. So we have two different, just the way people, depending on, so of course, disability, we're also flexible in working either with facilitators or patients directly. So we have two different pricing scenarios. We have with airfare and accommodations included for those that want the full bundle.
Okay.
But we also find when we work with facilitators and such, just because the value they bring is making sure they coordinate with the employer and time off work, etc., at times they'll want to actually handle the airfare as well as the hotel's bookings and the such. So it just depends on who and which company we're dealing with and what they actually want. But Dr. George, I heard you mention in regards to, you know, the fact that we want to make sure that we get it right the first time, etc. Another angle I'm sure it's not unique to Health City, actually I know it's not unique, but it's the sum of all parts that helps us to be able to do what we do. All of our physicians that we have with us, which is over at this point in time 35,
mm-hmm.
Are here with us on a full-time basis and are salaried physicians. So from an unnecessary surgery perspective, they also aren't incentivized at any point to be able, you know, to do more surgeries than are necessary. And they take the conservative approach. They'll, you know, make sure go through physiotherapy first if they think that will help to strengthen certain areas so that surgeries aren't needed. So in quite a few cases, especially local and throughout the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and you know, throughout the U.S. as well, we've actually seen where, depending on the ailment, with physiotherapy or conservative management, the patient actually hasn't needed to go under the knife, which is something that we also are proud of as Health City as well. So I thought, since you were making that point, I would also insert that into the conversation.
That's a huge insertion, because the doctors are aligned with the mission of the hospital. There's no fiduciary responsibility to random things. It's all about patient care, which is really it's really cool, and that's how most medicine, you know, that's how medicine is practiced, you know, and or should be. And that's really comforting, I think, as a patient, to know that when you go there, you're going there and you're going to get the right treatment for the right reason with a doctor that's fully on board. That's key. I don't think we get that in the States as much anymore. And the average doctor is spending 7 minutes on average with their patient now because of the various pressures in our system. Now, we talked a lot about ortho, but there are other services that you offer in Health City, correct?
Oh, most definitely. So we have the full slew of cardiac care. Actually, from a cardiac perspective, we actually have done a lot of firsts in the Caribbean as well. We did the first and second and third LVAD ever in the Caribbean. So that's the left ventricle assist device, the artificial hearts.
Mm.
We did three of those. That's for persons who can't get on the donor list for heart transplants and would have died if we weren't able to intervene. We have, you know, everything from TAVI to renal denervation, the whole slew of electrophysiology. We have pediatric you know, cardiac services as well, which is also near and dear to our heart. There is a non-for-profit organization called Have a Heart Cayman that works hand-in-hand with Health City. So one of the reasons that, you know, from a cost perspective, we want to make sure that we reduce the cost whilst keeping the great level of quality is if a pediatric heart surgery really costs you $80,000 to perform. You know, if you were to get $100,000 in donations, you can only save one child. But if you were actually able to reduce the cost of that heart surgery to $10,000, guess what? We can save 10 lives doing it at cost. And that actually helps us to do more. So currently we've done over 240 pediatric cardiac surgeries for underprivileged kids are in the Caribbean, as well as far as we do a lot from Haiti, we've done from Central America, we've done from Bolivia, El Salvador, Honduras, and as far as Mongolia, Fiji, and other places on the other side of the world, we've also done, and we're really proud of that, that Have a Heart. But that's our pediatric cardiac area. We do everything from an orthopedic standpoint, sports medicine. We also do hip arthroscopy, which only high-level tertiary care orthopedic facilities, even in the U.S., would be able to do that as well. We have robotic navigated navigation for orthopedics, and Dr. Alwyn brought that in because he, as he explains it to me, it's like aligning your tires. If you don't get it precise, then one side will wear out before the other, and he said that's the reason we have it, to make sure that we have the exact cuts so the implants won't wear out and you'll be able to walk around and run on that knee for a lot longer due to the way he's able to do the cuts. We have the full slew of neurology, interventional neurology, as well as neurosurgery, and our neurosurgeon is the person who actually does our spine surgery, which is great, and not necessarily for the U.S. patients coming from an elective perspective, but what is of note is that our neurologist is an interventional neurologist, and if he actually gets stroke patients within 2 to 3 hours, he actually can go in with a catheter and pull the clots out of the brain and reverse the effects of strokes. So from an emergent standpoint, what's interesting is that of course for persons on island, but we also, tourism is one of our two main pillars, so there are a lot of visitors here from the U.S. that from an emergent standpoint, we've saved quite a few U.S. citizens that were here on vacation and, you know, are of the demographic, and they have a heart attack or have a stroke, and we've been able to save them as well. So that's something of interest that I thought you should hear. We also do general surgery, bariatric surgery, which from a U.S. Self-insured employer perspective, they've actually been paying for the right patients to come and get bariatric surgery because they look at the life of the patient and the lifetime that they'll be with the company. And if they don't take care of the weight now, they look at the price they're going to pay with the future ailments that will come with it. So it's interesting that, that the self-insured companies in the U.S. have started to look at bariatric and are paying for bariatric to also come to Help City. We have medical oncology, which is really chemotherapy. Our radiation unit will be, we're looking to see when that would be built, but that would be in the next phase of our facility. We have urology, pediatric endocrinology, executive health checks, and we have the whole gamut of different specialties that are here at Health City. And just recently, we added cosmetic. We didn't want to start with cosmetic because we needed people to know that we were a serious tertiary facility that's doing serious work and showing the quality of outcomes. And now that we have the data, now that we really have that brand in the Caribbean and we're starting to build our brand in the in Canada and U.S., now we can offer cosmetic surgery because it's really an add-on and not the core of what we're able to do.
I have a question for you about the medical oncology, because here in the States, as you can imagine, that's where the serious cost driver in terms of patients, you know, being able to afford their chemo and the medications and everything that goes along with the post-treatment, you know, if you have something excised. Do people have surgery, for example, in the United States, and then can they come to Cayman Health City to get their chemo, or do they have to do the surgery and get the chemo in one spot?
Yes, so just to mention that our medical oncology product that we have right now, isn't necessarily designed for medical tourism. It's okay. Really to help with the local population. However, that being said, when we have our radiation unit up and running, then we'll be able to offer the full suite of surgery, radiation if needed, plus, of course, medical on oncology. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time would be when we would actually reach out with that service for international travelers to come in and international patients. We knew we couldn't give a one-stop shop mm-hmm. in that regard, mm-hmm. but medical oncology is really the only service that's more locally based, just because we know persons go overseas for the surgical, for radiation, and instead of having to stay overseas for an extended period of time, they can come back home and be here and go through their chemotherapy regimen. However, stay tuned. So in the future, in the next phase, we should have more of an update very shortly. I will be able to let you know when we would have that radiation and could have that offering for U.S. patients.
Great. Hey, on that note, let's take a small break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're having a very important conversation about healthcare options and healthcare choices with Mr. Shamari Scott, Marketing Director of Health City Cayman Islands. You know, in our break, the producer and I both had a question about just getting more information about what if you have insurance and you're not a self-pay patient. Is that, can you use your insurance, or will your insurance work directly with Health City and pay you directly? How would that work?
Definitely. So if you have an insurance company and you're not sure about their out-of-country benefit, you should mention that you know, well, first, research us, of course, which is healthcitycaymanislands.com or healthcity.ky, and, you know, actually bring it up and show either your benefits manager, your HR manager, that, you know, you would like to understand if you could travel to Health City in order to get the types of procedures that we perform. If we're not in network or they don't have the out-of-country benefit, they would need to first make that decision that that's something they want to do. They mm-hmm. can call us. We actually have relationships in the U.S. that help for minimal charge companies write plan language in such a way that allows for the benefit. And of course, once they do the cost analysis, it's something that they definitely would want to do. But we've definitely done a lot of legwork over the last 2 years to understand the different barriers, and with self-insured companies that we were targeting and some that found us, definitely get into the network so that persons can actually use the benefit that they would have. But outside of that, we've also seen, which is interesting, through some of our PR efforts, there are patients who saw Health City in an article, went to their benefits manager, and they said, actually, we do have a out-of-country benefit, mm-hmm. but nobody's ever requested it. And the patient has said, no, well, I want to request it. And we've actually had persons come through. So I think it was probably maybe around between 6 to 10 years ago that a lot of companies started to put in the out-of-country benefit, but didn't have a good communication mechanism mm-hmm. By which to tell their employees about it or to truly explain the benefits of doing it. So at times people have it in there and they're not even aware. So definitely a great point. So you should definitely, you know, if you want to come to Health City, research, bring it up with your benefits manager and or your HR manager. And if they need to call us directly or email us directly, they can definitely do that. And we'd be willing to work with those decision makers to make that happen.
The more the merrier. I mean, it's all about knowing what the true costs are. It's in the insurance company. Well, I don't know if they see it as their interest, but it is in their interest and for their members to have their members be well taken care of without breaking the bank. It helps everybody. And it also, I think, puts pressure, I would hope, on our system as well to lower their price. I mean, people are going to start shopping with their, you know, the pocketbooks are going to start making more moves that are in their favor as opposed to just taking what's given to them. And that's what this show is about. It's about letting people know you don't have to do the same thing, expect a different result, end up paying through the nose for it, and still not be happy. This exists now. Health City is a resource. And you, if you need surgery, if you're having any kind of medical problem that's ortho, cardiac, pulmonology, I mean, you do everything related, you should look at Health City because that's your, I think, your leverage to figure out, hey, maybe I should go there or I should use them as a template, as the battering ram to make things change here. I mean, ultimately, I would think most people who contact you end up coming to Health City. Would that be a fair assessment?
That, and the interesting thing is that you mentioned, I guess, the time that physicians spend with their their patients. And one thing, because anybody who requests a consultation, we go ahead and we set that up from either Skype or through a patient portal that we have with the physician. And one thing that we've heard time and time again on our testimonials, and if you go on our website, you'll see a slew of testimonials, which is great for us, is that they'll say, I spent more time with your physician than I've spent with my physician over the last 6 years. One conversation with your physician, I spent more time, and that sold me right away. So you're absolutely correct that the if we can get the potential patient on the phone with our physician, it's a done deal because they speak to him, they're very caring, their bedside manner is such that the patient is sold, and of course, based on our testimonials, you'll see, and even our, we also have our survey results that show that satisfaction is over 95% for the overall experience here at Health City.
I'm not surprised. You know, another area that I wanted to discuss, because it's a big deal here in the States, our insurance companies generally don't cover dental at all. And if they do, it's really lame. So one of the things I've talked to patients over the years, and getting access to dental care is a big deal. So tell us a little bit more, if you can, about your services. I mean, it's, you know, is it tooth restoration? What do you guys do in terms of the dental treatment?
Right. So our dental care is more of an ancillary type of service because, of course, when you're doing cardiac procedures and such, you need to check the teeth.
Right.
We just do the regular lower level, you know, tooth extractions and the such.
Okay.
The major surgeries such as, you know, needing dental implants and such, we actually don't do here. So that isn't a service that we promote in and of itself. The interesting thing is that we have contracts with different cruise lines and the such, and they have crew members that at times are far from home and the such, and even for regular dental checkups and the such, they'll come to us. But that's really the extent of that service. That isn't one of our core services.
Okay.
At this time.
Fair enough. And I also wanted to expand on the neurosurgery side of it. You know, the brain tumors are becoming, I've never seen so many diagnosed. Is that something that you also care for on Health City?
Definitely. It's interesting you should mention that. We actually are going to have a press release with a video coming out shortly, which has brain awake surgery, as I like to call it, where a tumor was being removed from a gentleman who was a watchmaker, so they had to make sure that his hands, of course, could operate optimally. So he was awake during the surgery to remove the tumor, and of course they were showing him different pictures and asking him to move his fingers, and just to make sure that it was a successful surgery. And sure enough, enough, you know, he's a raving fan of Hell City. So that's an area that we're definitely very versed in, and we're doing a lot of work in that area as well.
That's awesome. It's, I mean, you are, I mean, I'm so happy you're able to come on the show, and I really thank you so much for your time, because this is something that people don't know. They just have no clue, and they think that they're stuck, and they're not. And there's so many avenues that you just described. Christian Sharing Ministries, I belong to Liberty HealthShare. I know that's one of the benefits that they offer to their members. And it's been a revelation for us, because you're not spending a ton of money, or your member isn't, staying in the U.S. system where it's 10 times more, you know, or more, compared to what you're going to get if you leave the country. And what's really nice also is that you're close. So an hour from Miami, do you have, I mean, I'm sure nuts and bolts folks would want to know, what's the average cost, if you can tell us, of leaving the States to go to Cayman Islands?
Yeah, so that's gonna vary based on where you're actually coming from. But
sure.
Anywhere from probably around $250 US and depending on season, to about $500. And the great thing about the Cayman Islands is that, being a tourism destination, mm-hmm. you have direct flights from 14 different cities in the US, all the major ones: New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Tampa, mm-hmm. and the list goes on, you know, Dallas, Houston, etc. But we also recently got the benefit of Southwest as well, that's mm-hmm. flying in. So we have a new network into the U.S. All the major carriers, JetBlue, American, United, now that they've all merged, I can't remember which one
so no.
now, but Delta, and all the major carriers fly into the Cayman Islands, and now we've added Southwest to that list as well.
Well, so it's easy, it's convenient, obviously it's English speaking, and it's a safe country, it's a safe destination. These are all things that I think when people think about medical tourism, they think of it being on the other side of the world. No one's going to speak your language. It's going to be a language barrier. None of that exists here at all.
None. 1 hour from Miami is how we like persons to understand how close we are. So whatever timing it would take you to get to Miami, we're just 1 hour away from Miami. And the great thing about the Cayman Islands is that within 60,000 people, we have over 130 different nationalities. A lot of Americans, of course, as well. Canadians, English, we have everything you can think of. So no matter where you're from, you'll feel like you're at home here in the Cayman Islands. And we have a first world infrastructure. We have a lot of expatriates. So within the 60,000 people, approximately half are persons that are from other places, and they choose to come and live in the Cayman Islands due to the great schooling, the great infrastructure, of course, now even more so greater in regards to healthcare from a tertiary perspective, and everything you can ask for you have here in the Cayman Islands, and that now extends to medical tourism as well.
So Shamari, in the half a minute we have left, what's the best way to reach you and Hell City?
Best way to reach us is to call us directly at 1-345-640-4040. So that's 1-345-640-4040, or you can email us at info@hellcity.ky, or you can also go online and look us up at hellcity.ky or hellcitycaymanislands.com.
Thank you so much for coming on. You are awesome, and I look forward to hearing about the new things that you have to offer in the future.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.